So as Mike said, the lectionary takes us through the book of James this month. So we are going to concentrate on the book of James because it is a great book. I love it. It's a book that is a great book of wisdom. It's not a letter like some of the other letters in the New Testament. It's not like a letter from St. Paul, for example, which is full of amazing, deep theology that might be quite hard for us to grasp. It's not a letter written to tackle a specific misunderstanding in a group, in a church community. It is a book written a bit more like a practical handbook, actually, of how to do faith. It's written, if you look at the beginning of the first chapter of James, at the very beginning of the book, it's written to the 12 tribes of Israel scattered around the world. So essentially, it is written to all God's people all over the world. Quite general, but that means it's written to us as well. And it's written from one of the great leaders of the early church as a book on their teaching on how to live this life of faith. It's actually much more like a book of wisdom from the Old Testament, like a book like Proverbs, for example. It's a book of wisdom in the New Testament. And actually, it's also hugely influenced by Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to talk about that a bit more later. So there is huge wisdom in the teaching there, but it's not going to be a book on theology. It's going to be a book on practical faith life. Okay, so this all makes sense when we know who wrote the book. So I'm going to give you two facts. If you only remember two things that to take away from today, then these are the two things. One is that the majority of scholars would tell you that this book was written by Jesus's brother, James. Okay, so this book was written by someone who was brought up with Jesus. Just ponder that for a moment. How cool would it have been to be in the family with Jesus? You'd have known Jesus as a toddler. Well, actually, maybe not. It depends how much younger you are. But you would have known him as a young lad. He would have been the annoying older brother, if I'm allowed to say that about Jesus. I'm sure he had his moments. But so the writer of James was brought up in this Jewish household. Remember Mary and Joseph, very devout Jews. He would have been brought up with the scriptures. He would have been deeply immersed in that faith. So it's understandable that the book of Proverbs, actually, the wisdom of the Jewish faith is highly influential here. And also the teaching of Jesus, as I said. So James, we know, I don't know if you know your Gospels well enough, you'll remember there's a point where Jesus is teaching and his brothers and his mother come and try to dissuade him from what he's doing. They think he's gone a bit far and they're trying to say, calm down. Read it back in a little bit. You're going a bit far now. They try to stop him doing what he's doing. So it seems that they didn't always understand what Jesus was about and what he was doing in life. But James is one of the few people who is specifically mentioned by name as having Jesus appear to them after his resurrection. So there is something powerful that happens. Jesus specifically appears to James. And from then on, when we hear James mentioned in the New Testament, it's always in conjunction with being a leader in the church. And James was one of the elders of the Jewish church in Jerusalem. So one of those foremost leaders, when Paul goes back to meet the Jewish council, the Jerusalem council, the Jerusalem church, James and Peter are the two people that is mentioned that Paul meets with. So the writer of this book is a great leader in the early church. Second fact, one of my favourites, is that his name isn't James. So you may know this is the book of James, but actually in Hebrew his name would have been Yaakov, and it would have come through Greek, the name Jacob, and then we've somehow anglicised it and made it James. So actually this is the book of Jacob, which I think changes the slant of it, because to me Jacob is quite a Jewish name, and I can understand Jacob as a young Jewish lad growing up in a Jewish household, and it seems to make sense to me. But I'm not going to keep calling it the book of Jacob, because that would be confusing. The book of James, but his name was Jacob. Just something to take away. So we have a Jewish man devoutly brought up in the temple and alongside Jesus. And this book, as I said, written to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, to all God's people. So it's a general letter, and it talks about the general teachings and how we respond to them. It looks at first glance that Jesus is not really mentioned very much, and some people have slightly sort of dismissed the book of James because of this. It seems a slightly, well, if you're really into Paul and his theology, James can feel quite light. Personally, I love it for that reason. I can actually understand it. But it actually does deeply draw on Jesus' teachings, just doesn't mention him by name. As I said, the Sermon on the Mount. But also, it develops the core teaching of Jesus, the greatest commandment. Anybody? Shout out. Greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbour as yourself. Okay, I think we need to practice keeping shouting out the greatest commandment. Jesus said the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God and love your neighbour as yourself. Awesome. Yes, that underlies everything in James. So you have to hold on to that. Okay, if you don't know the whole of the Sermon on the Mount off by heart, good, I don't either. You can know the first commandment, the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. It underpins everything in James, so hold it in your head. And then we get to how it is written. Now, I once had a conversation with someone who was bemoaning the fact that they didn't think the Bible had really simple guidance on how to live our life, sort of laid out. They were saying in other religions, they have, like, it's sort of laid out much more easily that you follow these things. This is how you live your life. This is the right way to live your life. You follow these, do this, do this, do this, and do this. And they're saying in the Bible, it doesn't really have that. And I want to say the book of James is that. It does have all the ways that we should live. It has all the right advice for different situations of actually, based on all of Jesus' teaching and that greatest commandment, this is how we live in response. It's actually a really hardcore challenge to us as to how we live our life. How many of you, hands up, found Simon Says quite a challenge this morning on the old brain? Thank you, Colin, for being honest. I found it quite a challenge. Mike may have given up on us because we were too good, but that took a lot of concentration to actually be focusing on. But we did manage it, right? So lots of us stayed in because Simon says we follow it. Simon didn't say we don't follow it. Well, technically, this is laid out for us. God says this, this, and this. We follow it, right? Should be easy. But even if the simple game of Simon Says shows us how much concentration is needed, that is how much effort it actually does take for us to live every day as God is calling us to live. It is actually laid out for us in the Bible. It's just, it's quite a challenging thing to do. If only it was just put your hand on your head and then put your hand on your knee. It's not. It's how we live our whole lives every single day. And it takes effort every single day. This is what the book of James is talking about. Because we are called to live differently. Now that we have grace, now that Jesus has come and done what he's done on the cross, we have a way of living differently. If you like to imagine, I've told you before, I'm a picture person, so I have to imagine things in pictures. But it's like in that moment on the cross and everything Jesus did, God planted a new vine in the world. Jesus is that new vine, and we have each, through God's grace, not by any work on our part, through God's grace, have been grafted into that vine. We are now part of it. And that vine is the new kingdom growing up in the world, growing and spreading and producing fruit for the world. That is what God's kingdom is. It's been established by Jesus, and we have been brought into it. And as it says in that first, I think it's verse 18 in James, we have been given new life, this new birth that we have been given. We're grafted into that vine, and we are then the first fruits of this new vine. We are then producing the fruit that is blessing the world right now. It is not in fulfillment, not yet. That is to come. But at the moment, we are part of a living, growing vine. God's kingdom is living and growing. It was established by Jesus. And we have been brought into this new birth, this new life. and we are now the first fruit. So it changes how we live. It has to change how we live in response to that. But it does take work. We can't just accept it and listen to it on a Sunday morning because it makes us feel good, and then walk out of church and just forget everything that we've just heard. That's what James is saying. It's like looking in a mirror, turning away and just forgetting everything. That's not how we need to live. We need to live in response to this word, and it actually needs to change how we live. But it's not easy. It takes a lot of effort. So we are going to do some of that work. We're going to make that effort for the next month, and we're going to go through James, and we're going to take some serious looks at ourselves, and we're going to take a look at all the wisdom that is in the book of James, and we're going to let it change us. We're going to let it change and influence how we make decisions, what we spend our time on, what we spend our money on, where we choose to live, where we choose to help. All of those things are a response. You may be sitting there thinking you've been taught before that James's theology and understanding, it's a little bit at odds with everything else in the New Testament, perhaps at odds with what Paul is saying, that we receive God's love and grace. We're born into this new life purely through God. We don't have to do any works. And if you read any further on in James, you'll see that he talks about faith without works is dead. It's very important to James that works are a part of what we do as Christians. And I just want to clarify that this is not talking about the same thing. James is not talking about we need to work in order to be accepted by God so that we can live in this gracious new world. That's not what he's saying. He is saying we are now in this new world through God's grace. Just what Paul was saying. Absolutely, God's love has brought us to this point where we're grafted into this vine. We're in this new kingdom. But now it does take some effort on our part. We do need to respond to God's grace. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do some work in order to respond to God's grace in our lives. Chapter 1 actually sets up the majority of what is in the rest of James. So you will see themes as we look at chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 over the next few weeks. You will see some of the same themes that have been set up in chapter 1 come back again. It's like an introductory chapter that sort of goes over. So today we are going to do, because we like to do more interactive, we'll go a little bit deeper in theology next week probably. But we're in an all age. We're going to respond with each other and do some learning together. So I have obviously the different ways that we respond that we normally do in our all age, whether you like to respond in a practical way that you think best by doing, whether you think best by chatting with others, or whether you think best on your own, in your own head and doing your own thinking. We are going to respond in all those different ways to begin to explore James, to challenge ourselves, to see whether we are guilty of occasionally looking in the mirror and then walking away. Whether we have been given an opportunity to take a long, hard look at ourselves through God, and then we just walk away from it when we leave church. Or we're going to see whether actually, do you know what? Some of those things, I didn't even know they were in James, but they're deeply rooted in me and I live my life by them. This is the kind of thing we're going to explore. So, if you want today, you can, I have some mirrors at the front here. You can actually practice how much effort it takes to look in a mirror and try and draw yourself with actually what's there and not turning away and forgetting it. If you like drawing and if you can bear looking at yourself in a mirror, it is a challenge sometimes for us, then you can do that. Or you might want to make a little book of God's wisdom for yourself. I think I've done this before. This is the ability to make a little book out of a blank piece of paper. So it starts as an A4 piece of paper, and I will show you how to fold it to make it into a book. But you can either put down those little pearls of wisdom from the Bible that you have are really important to you in your life to hold on to, or it might be even more interesting to ask other people, what passages in the Bible are the deep wisdom that you follow, that are important to you. If you want some examples, I have filled in this book. So there are the pearls of God's wisdom from throughout the Old Testament, New Testament in this book that you can have some examples if you want. But do ask others. What are the bits of wisdom that they really focus in on from scriptures? Or if you like just thinking and pondering, you might like to just find a space on your own and have a ponder about what words of wisdom you do base your life upon. Are they actually scriptural verses of wisdom, or are there other things? Any of you who read the newsletter on Friday will have had this sort of set up for you, where I talked about the fact that we can have other sources of wisdom in our lives that we somehow end up building our lives on and basing everything around. And sometimes we need to look back and go, do you know what? That is not godly wisdom. There's not good in that. That has somehow shaped me, but it's not positive. And I might need to challenge that. So you might want to do some work yourself of how much has scripture actually influenced what you do through the rest of the week, not just on a Sunday, through anything that doesn't involve sitting, facing, or sitting around this table. How much of your life is based on what God is wanting you to do? Or those of you, I know there are lots of you who like studying the Bible together. There's a little Bible study to do. You can look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 to 7, for those of you who don't just have it like that. And try and find the links between James and the Sermon on the Mount. I have a helpful little table with a few starting points for you. If you want to look at this, I'll bring a few round on the tables. If you want to chat together, to explore James and explore the Sermon on the Mount, see where that wisdom is, where the teaching is, and how James takes it further on. So those are our different ways we're going to begin to grapple with James this morning. Over to you. We set these challenges. There's more hubbub, but you guys are so concentrating. I almost don't want to interrupt. I'm very sorry. But those who are concentrating on drawing and those who are concentrating on Bible study, but please continue them. Take those things home. Go home and read James in its entirety. Read the Sermon on the Mount in its entirety. And see, we will then explore more and more of what James is bringing out. So I am sorry to draw you to a close, but let's just, before we move into intercessions, let's just draw everything we've done together with a prayer. Loving God, I thank you for the way that you have obviously spoken to us and inspired us and created a desire in us to explore your word further. So I pray that that would continue to grow through this week, that you would keep drawing us back to your word and to going deeper in it. So I thank you that it is a living word. Thank you that we are grafted into a living vine. Thank you that there is life in you. And I pray that you would keep growing that life in us.